house arrest in Rome, as he wrote this letter, his main purpose was to make an appeal. To make an appeal. And last week we saw who he was making the appeal to. Philemon, Paul's beloved friend and fellow worker in the gospel, most likely living in the city of Colossae, some way away from Rome where Paul was. A man whose love and faith, Paul spoke of, refreshed the hearts of the saints. Refreshed the hearts of the people of God in that place and refreshed Paul's own heart as he heard of his love. But we not only saw who Paul was making the appeal to, we also saw last week who Paul was making the appeal for. A man named Onesimus, a servant in the household of Philemon who had fled from his master and it seems stolen from his master in his fleeing, but in God's providence ended up in Rome where he met Paul, was converted under Paul's preaching by the power of the Spirit of God, and so was now a changed man. As we saw last week, Paul spoke of him formerly being useless, but now being useful, a servant of God. Well, having seen who Paul made the appeal to and who his appeal was for, this morning we come to the appeal itself. And I hope as we consider these verses that we'll not simply come to an understanding of what Paul was saying to Philemon, but I hope we'll see what through this the Lord is saying to us. As we consider Paul's appeal by the Spirit of God and his power, may we each hear, may we truly hear the Lord's appeal to us this morning. And so as we seek to unpack this appeal, we'll ask a few questions. What was Paul asking Philemon to do? How was he asking Philemon to do it? And why was he asking Philemon to do it? So what, how, and why? And we'll begin with the what. What was Paul asking Philemon to do? Well, having spoken of Onesimus and this wonderful change that took place in his life, Paul says in verse 12, I am sending him back to you, Philemon. I'm sending him back to you. I'm sending Onesimus back. And as Paul spoke of this, he was really implying an expectation that as he sent him, Philemon would receive him. That as Paul sent him back to Philemon's household, Philemon would receive him again into the household. And we need to note that there was a real depth to what Paul was asking here. A real depth. We can see that first on Paul's own part. He doesn't just say, I'm sending him back to you, but he says, I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. Sending my very heart. And that word heart is the same word that we saw in verse 7, last Lord's Day, to speak of the hearts of the saints. And I mentioned then the word literally means in the Greek, bowels. It's speaking of the depth of one's affections, the depth of the inner man. And so Paul was saying, as I am sending Onesimus back to you, I want you to know that I'm not just sending anyone. I'm sending one who my heart loves, who I love from the very depths of my heart. Of course, as we saw last week, Paul had been used as an instrument of God in Onesimus' conversion. Even while Paul was in his chains, the Lord was using him. He spoke of Onesimus as his child in verse 10, and of himself as Onesimus' father, because as the Lord worked in Onesimus, they developed a close, close bond, a precious bond, whereby Paul was as a spiritual father to him, and Onesimus as a spiritual child. So having been used in such a way and developing such a close bond, surely it's no surprise that as Paul said to Philemon, I'm sending him back, he also says, I'm sending my heart as I do so. I'm sending my very heart. But you see, there was not just a depth to this request on Paul's part, but there was also a depth to what he was asking Philemon to do. You see, Paul was not simply asking Philemon to welcome Onesimus into his home. The language he goes on to use is he was asking Philemon to receive Onesimus. So he wasn't simply asking Philemon to receive him into his home, but really he was asking Philemon to receive Onesimus into his heart. To receive him into his heart. Philemon had been wronged by Onesimus, grievously so. He had fled from his household. He had stolen from him. When he'd taken that which was not his. Paul, there was no beating around the bush on Paul's part with regards to this. We saw that he called him useless in those days. Such was his sin against Philemon. But now Paul was saying, Philemon, as I send Onesimus back to you, I'm doing so with the hope and the prayer that you will truly receive him, that you will forgive him, that you will be reconciled to him, because only then will you truly be able to receive him. So what we can see here is that as Paul was asking Philemon to receive, there's a sense in which he was also asking Philemon to give, to forgive this man. Give is in the word, forgive. And the Latin word from which it comes means to give completely, to give without reservation. And so here Paul was calling Philemon to forgive Onesimus and to let go of any lingering anger against him by the grace of God, to let it go. Now, I can only speak for myself, but I'm sure you can also relate that this can be very difficult. That blows against us can be very painful. Sins against us can be very painful, especially the blows and the sins of those who are close to us, even those who are part of our households or of the household of faith. And you know, our hearts, they can be so unwilling to forgive and to lay rest to any anger that we have in our hearts. Of course, we need to remember that our first need is to be forgiven ourselves. Not just for our sins against others, which we surely do commit, but first and foremost for our sins against the Lord. Like we sang in Psalm 130, if the Lord was to mark iniquities, not one of us would stand. Not one of us would stand, yet there is forgiveness to be found in him, because the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come and stand in the breach so that all who believe might be reconciled to the Father through him. Is that true of you this morning? Can you say that in Christ I have been saved? I have been reconciled. I believe in him. Yes, I am still a sinner, but I believe in him, and so I have been saved. Praise God if you can say that this morning. And if you can say it, we need to know, friends, we need to know, brothers and sisters, that the Lord, who has been pleased to forgive the sins of our hearts, he calls us to have forgiving hearts ourselves. Think of the Lord's prayer forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Is that true of you, brother? Is that true of you, sister? Is it true of me? May it be so. What was Paul asking Philemon to do? He was asking him to receive Onesimus, who he was sending back to him, to forgive him and be reconciled to him. With that, secondly, we can ask, how was Paul asking Philemon to do this? We've touched on it already with regards to this forgiving disposition I've spoken of, but what was the spirit in which Philemon was to do what Paul was asking him? Well, Paul goes on in verse 13. He says, I would have been glad to keep Onesimus with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent. Paul was essentially saying, Onesimus is very close to me and I'm close to him. But not just that, Onesimus is gifted. And I would be blessed to have him continue with me here in Rome, ministering to me in the gospel and ministering with me in the gospel, as long as the Lord is pleased to keep me here. But he says, no, it's not right for me to make that decision. Onesimus is part of Philemon's household, so I will send him back. And so he was sending Onesimus back. And having said this, he essentially says, Philemon, in all that pertains to Onesimus, whether it be your receiving of him, or whether it be in the future you decide to send him back to me, the spirit that I'm asking for, the spirit that the Lord desires, he goes on to say there in verse 14, is that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. Not by compulsion, but of your own accord. He was essentially saying, you know what I'm asking you, Philemon? I don't want you to do it because you're being forced to do it. I want you to do it because you desire to do it. Because you have a desire to do it by the grace of God. We should remember here that Paul was writing from a very authoritative position. Paul was writing to Philemon, and Philemon knew this. He was writing as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just that, he was writing, as he says early in the letter, as one who was aged, as one who was experienced. And of course, all of us have good grounds to listen to the voice of experience, whether that be in the church or in life in general. Not just that, Paul was a prisoner. He was one who had gone to the depths in suffering for Christ. And it's good for us to give an ear to hear from those who have gone to those depths and suffered greatly for Christ. It's good for us to listen to what they've experienced and what they've learned through those experiences. And not just that, Paul says at the end of verse 19, to Philemon, you owe me even yourself. You owe me even your own self. And it seems a strange phrase, but I think what Paul's speaking of is how he had been used greatly in Philemon's life, just as the Lord had been pleased to use Paul in Onesimus' conversion. It wouldn't be a far stretch to say that Paul may have well been used in Philemon's conversion. And Paul wasn't literally saying, you owe me for that. But he was making the point that he had been used greatly in Philemon's life. And surely we know, friends, that although it's the Lord who saves our souls, those whom the Lord uses to that end, preachers perhaps that have been used in our experience, they do have a special place in our hearts, do they not? And even at times a special hearing from our ears. Paul was writing from a very authoritative position, especially as an apostle of Christ. And as he said in verse 8, I could command you to do what I'm asking you to do. Yet, verse 9, for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. And building on this, he says in verse 14, I desire that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. Not by compulsion, but of your own accord. You know, he's essentially saying, if you're to receive Onesimus in your heart has to be open to this. Your heart has to be open to this. Because only then will you truly be reconciled. Now, of course, we are to do, as Christians, we are to do what God commands simply because he commands it. It's our duty to do that which God has said and that which God calls us to. It's our calling. This word compulsion here, the root word Paul uses when he speaks of his calling to the ministry, the calling to preach the gospel, he says, necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. He felt compelled to preach and being called to that. It's like when a parent tells a child to do something and the child asks why, and the parent simply says, because I told you so. They're appealing to their authority in the home. They're asking the child to do it simply because the one who is over them and the one who they are to be obedient to has told them to. But you see, when the parent says, because I've told you so, is there not a bit more to it than that? Yes, the parent is surely hoping that the child will do that which they've been told to do out of a respect for their parent's position in the home. But is the parent not also hoping that the child will do what they've been told to do because they love the parent and because they desire to please the parent? Not just thinking, I better do it, but feeling, I desire to do it. I desire to do it. Paul here was, the whole spirit of what Paul was saying here, he was essentially saying, Philemon, I don't want you just to go through the motions here. I don't want you just, when Onesimus arrives, I don't want you to just open the door to him at your house. I want you to open your arms. I want you to open your arms and open your heart to this man. I want your heart to be in this. And friends, the Lord does not just call for a people who go through the motions or who do the bare minimum. He desires a people serving him from the heart. Yes, seeking to do his will, but like Psalm 40 where we sang from, loving to do his will, delighting to do his will. It's like in 2 Corinthians 9 when Paul was writing about giving. He didn't just say there that God loves a giver, but God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. And for us to have this cheerful spirit and this spirit of delighting in doing God's will, of course, we need God's grace for that. We also, flowing from God's grace, we need love. Love is key. As I said last week, joy springs up when love is flowing, when love is flowing in the heart. Like I said of the child, to delight in doing a parent's will, there's a need for love, is there not? Abundant love. Love for the parent, overcoming the love of self. And how much more love towards our God and flowing from that love towards his people. You know, Paul says, not by compulsion, but of your own accord. He wasn't wanting Philemon to act in compulsion, but in a sense he was, because he was wanting to act as one who was compelled by love. Because friends, love compels. Heartened to hear of how you are all reaching out to the community here in Airdrie with evangelism and handing out tracts and Bibles and whatever else. But in evangelism, it's a good example to apply what we're seeing here. we should know that we have a responsibility to go out with the gospel. Yes, the Lord may gift some more than others in that area, but we know that it's the right thing to do. It's what God calls us to. But you see, the more we grow in the love of the Lord, then the less evangelism will simply be something that we feel we need to do. And the more it'll be something that we desire to do. Something that we love to do. To share of the Lord whom we love with those, with our neighbours whom we love as well. The more we grow in the love of the Lord, the more our wills will be conformed to his perfect will. You see, before we move on to our final point this morning, we should remember in all of this that the love the Lord shows to us as people, it's not a love by compulsion, but a love by his own accord. He spoke to Israel essentially saying, I've loved you because I've loved you. Hosea, towards the end of Hosea chapter 14, verse 4, a beautiful phrase. He speaks of his people and says, I will love them freely. I will love them freely. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, not by compulsion, but of his own accord. The son came into this world, saying to the Father in heaven, I will go. I will go. Not by compulsion, but of his own accord, compelled by love, compelled by a love for his people. And yes, he suffered as he did the will of God in his coming. Of course he did. The anguish of body and soul. But did he not also rejoice? Did he not also delight in doing the Father's will more than anyone has? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And so he did. And so here, Paul, as we ask the question, how was Paul asking Philemon to do this? He was essentially saying, my desire is not that you would do this, Philemon, just because you feel bound to do it, but that you would do it from a heart filled with love, that you would truly receive Onesimus. And friends, whatever the Lord calls us to, may this be our spirit. May we truly delight to do our Father's will. And the plain facts are, the more we become like the Lord Jesus Christ, the more that will be true of our spirit by his grace. Finally then, we've seen what Paul was asking Philemon to do. We've seen how he was asking him to do it. Finally, and more briefly, why was he asking him to do it? What were the grounds for Paul's appeal here? Well, of course, this was the will of God, first and foremost. It was the will of God for Philemon to do this. But what does Paul actually say? Verse 15. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while. That you might have him back forever. We'll come back to that in a moment. But look at verse 16. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Here Paul was reiterating that Onesimus was now a changed man. Yes, of course, Philemon, like ourselves, was to have a forgiving disposition at all times. But as Paul was saying that I'm sending back Onesimus and I desire that you receive him and forgive him and be reconciled to him, Paul was not speaking of an unrepentant Onesimus, but he was speaking of a repentant Onesimus, one who had been changed and one who had an earnest desire to be reconciled with Philemon. Paul essentially said to him, Philemon, as I send Onesimus back, I want you to know that he is not just returning as a more useful servant than he was before. He's returning as a child of God. There in verse 16, no longer a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, a brother in the Lord. And he goes on to say, you know, that especially to me that's true, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. See, when a servant was in the household in those days, often they would be referred to as a bondservant of the flesh because they were a part of that household. And Paul was saying to him, you know, he's not just returning as one who is part of your household, but he's one who's now a part of the household of God, the household of faith alongside me and you, Philemon. What a change in this man's life. What a change had taken place. And in verse 15 before this, Paul reflects on God's purpose in all of this. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. You know, we read in Genesis 50 of Joseph and his brothers. And Joseph commented on God's sovereign purpose and all that he suffered and all that he went through. His brothers sold him into slavery. And he said, you meant that for evil, my brothers. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so here, Onesimus, when he fled and when he stole from Philemon, he meant it for evil. But God in his sovereign grace, he meant it for good. So that when these two men were further away geographically than they'd ever been before, Philemon in Colossae, Onesimus in Rome, it was at that moment that by God's sovereign power, they became closer than they'd ever been before. Closer in a spiritual sense, because as the Lord worked in Onesimus' heart, he became a child of God. And so he was a child of God with Philemon. Brothers in the Lord, a bond which he says would be forever. As we are united to Christ by faith, so too we are united to one another. And just as our union with Christ is a bond that is forever, so too is our union as brothers and sisters in the Lord. How important it is to remember that. Yes, to remember our union with Christ, but also our union, our communion with one another. As we reflect on our lives today as Christians, we must never forget that we were once slaves to sin. We were once lost in our sins. We must never forget that we've now been made alive to God through Christ and his great work of reconciliation. We must never forget that in him, we've been made servants of God and brothers and sisters in the family of God, which is a bond that shall remain forevermore. With all denominational division and strife in our land and other lands, it can be so easy to forget this. So easy to forget this. And it may be that this morning you're struggling to walk alongside your brothers and sisters in some way, or have been struggling with this. Well, if that's true, let me encourage you to remember. Let me encourage you to remember the one in whom we have been made brothers and sisters. Consider and remember all that he has done for you and for me, and all that he calls us to. Just as I close, Paul sums up his appeal in verse 17. If you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. I said that through Paul's appeal, we can hear the Lord's appeal. And even in these words, do we not hear an echo of the words of Christ, who said, as you did it unto the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. You did it unto me. So may we, by God's grace, hear the appeal of our Lord this morning. Live as he calls us to live. Walk and abide in his love, seeking always the glory of his name and the blessings of our brothers and sisters in him. Amen.